Amen. If you will stand with me, stretch our legs for the reading of God's Word this morning. And I only brought 4 pages of notes. I usually bring 7. That absolutely means nothing. Amen. I purposely wrote shorter outline, hoping it would affect my preaching, but I'm very Baptist. It's just my nature. John chapter 17, if you're there, give me a big amen. Let me know you are there. John chapter 17, I'm not there. Give me a second. John 17, when you're there, give me a big amen. Now, we preached on this prayer when we were going through the book of John probably 2 years ago. By the way, I've been meeting with the elders. We're probably going to be working through Genesis and breaking it up with Romans and some other New Testament texts in between. We're going to take a different approach. Still working through books of the Bible, but doing multiple books and working them together. Anyways, I'll explain more on that next Sunday. If you're there in John 14, looking at verse 16, give me an amen. Let me know you're there. Verse 16. Jesus is praying a prayer for you and I to God. And this is what he says to his Father. He said, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Verse 18. And as you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. What a statement. We're going to look at a little bit more of the text. But here's Jesus. They're not of the world, just like I'm not of the world. Sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. And then, as you sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. Why missions? Because God has sent us. God has sent us for missions. This morning, I have an adapted prayer from the Valley of Vision. Every now and then, we'll do one of these. Let's go ahead. Bow our heads for a word of prayer. Triune God, my creator, my redeemer, my sustainer, you're the author of all creation and you are the source of all salvation. Father, I adore you. I adore you for making me able to know you by your grace. I adore you for making me able to think, for making me conscious of my sin, for blessing me with the desire to know you and your gospel of salvation, for the way you revealed yourself in the gospel, for your heart as a dwelling place of compassion, for your thoughts of peace that are towards me, for your patience and your graciousness, for your incredible depths of mercy that you have shown on me, have you shown on us. Holy Spirit, I praise you. For you have moved my mind to realize that the guilty can be forgiven, that the unholy can be made pure, that the poor can be made rich. May I always stand with those who you know, who walk with you, who rejoice in you, who trust in your word, who are humble in your presence, who daily receive your present of salvation, who delight in the comfort of your joy, and who feed on your spiritual grace and blessings. Oh, dear King Jesus, please help me to value my call to love as much as my kingdom privileges, to cherish simplicity rather than self-exaltation, to value being formed in the image of my King, to be authentic in your presence, to be honest in the presence of others even, to love your gospel and profess it, to reject the world as I receive what you have given me in the church. To set my affections on things in heaven. To turn away from sin and selfishness. To bear the evil that is often inflicted against me while resting in you. To produce fruits of the Holy Spirit. To drink of your grace with the intention of showing grace to others. Oh, triune God, only you can make us worthy of your calling on our lives. In Lord, we know that who you call, you sanctify. And who you sanctify, you will glorify. And God, so in your presence, may we fully be glorified in you. That we may be completely satisfied in you all our lives. God, we praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What is missions? What is missions? Now, as we've been going through liturgy for the last couple months, we've been breaking down our liturgy, creation, the fall, redemption, and consummation, as we've been working through what it looks like to have an order of worship to point towards the gospel. And we're getting amped up, getting ready to re-implement our, how we do our services together so that we look at the gospel from beginning to end. As we've been looking at that, Brother Tommy brought redemption. And Brother Tommy, anytime he brings redemption, Pastor Tommy always has to talk about evangelism. And he didn't really get on the topic that much, but I appreciate his heart. I was talking to somebody this week and about the elders here at church. I said, you know, we're very blessed. I said, our elders are all radically different. And I said, that's a good thing. You don't want more of me. That'd be bad. And I said, but, you know, I was saying, you know, they have different things that God has used them. And I'd start talking about how evangelism has grown stronger in our church. And I've seen young men grow into men who are preaching the gospel, proclaiming, you must repent and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will burn in hell. I mean, without unashamed proclamation of the gospel, I rejoice in what God has done here at Grace Point over these 14 years. We've come so far, but man, we've got a long way to go, and I'm speaking very candidly as a pastor. We've got a long way to go. What is missions? Missions comes from the Latin word missio. It simply means sent. That's all it means, sent. It's very interesting. It's very simple. It's very, very familiar, or very, very much like the word apostle, which means the sent ones, the sent out ones. Missio, to be sent to do the work of God. So we asked the question, and I said I didn't bring a lot of notes. I didn't do that on purpose. Ask the simple question, who has Jesus sent on mission? Let's go ahead and look at the scripture. Let me jump into our text this morning. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me in the world, so I send them into the world. Do you understand that God has sent us to preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? Very simple. Jesus came to them and said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. God has sent us to all nations. Now, this is not an optional command. This is not something that God shows up and says, hey, if you fill up to it, if you don't mind throwing me a bone and sharing the gospel. If you read Luke chapter 9, when Jesus is dealing with the hard sayings there in Luke 9, you have one man running up to Jesus, and I'm not going to preach it. One man running up to Jesus, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. And Jesus says, hey, the birds of the air have nests, fox has holes, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his hand ahead. Another man shows up, turns to him and says, I'll follow you. Only first let me go bury my father. And Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. And then the next man looks to Jesus and he says this, I want to follow you, but let me first go say bye to everybody in my house. And I preached on this not that long ago. You have three men, one looking for comfort and wouldn't follow Jesus. The other one, let me bury my father. That's basically saying when I inherit my father's money and I have money, I will follow you. I have a 5-year plan, God, and then I'm on board. And the last one, the lack of motivation. Let me go home, pack some extra underwear. I'll be there. And Jesus boldly proclaims, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. We forget that Jesus Christ is king, and a king has a kingdom has subjects, and subjects obey explicitly. This is not a democracy. The Great Commission is given to the church 4 different times by 3 different authors. Let me just look at another one for you. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. Or how about this one? Luke 24:46-47. He said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. How many nations? All nations beginning from Jerusalem. Who has God called us? Or who has God called to the work of missions to go? Us. To who? To the world. Now, I've said this, and I've said it for years, and I will continue saying it. You, in order to obey the Great Commission, have to be doing one of two things. Actually, you should be doing these two things. You either need to be going or you need to be sending. We looked at that last year as we preached through Paul, talking about your service has been renewed unto me. Talked about the fact that as he got done speaking about this truth, he told the Philippians, he said, listen, you take part in my fruit in the missions. So if you're not going, you're sending those who go. You're holding the rope for those who go down. There's a biblical truth here I want you to grasp, that God has called the church and all those that are members of the church to get the gospel to all the four corners of this earth. Do you comprehend what that means? And my next question is, and I'm going to try to stay close to my notes, is if God has called the church to get the gospel to all the nations, what should our attitude be? What should our attitude be? If Jesus says you're going to the other side, guess what? You're going to the other side. If he's commanded us to do something, he will supply and make it come to pass. I just want you to grasp this, that our attitude should be that what God has said and what God has commanded, God will accomplish. And he does it through his church. God ordains both the ends and the means. We're not fatalists. God has ordained, and he wrote the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the earth. Yes. But God has called you and I to do the Great Commission. God's foreknowledge does not negate the responsibility and call on this church to share the gospel with everything that breathes. Our goal is to share the gospel with every corner of the earth because God is worthy of the praise of all men. So we water and we sow and we rejoice that God gives the increase. If God has called you to share the gospel, then let me ask you this. In what way have you been faithful to share the gospel? In what way have you been faithful to share the gospel, church? So we ask the who, now the what. What's the purpose? They're not of this world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. He has sent us into the world, but for what purpose? I like Jonathan Edwards. This is what Jonathan Edwards wrote. Listen to this real quick. He said, the creation of the world seems to have been especially for this end, that the eternal Son of God might obtain a spouse towards whom he might fully exercise the infinite benevolence of his nature, and to whom he might, if it were, open and pour forth all that immense fountain of condescence, of love, grace that was in his heart, and that in this way God might be glorified. Now, I know he uses the phrase in his heart. You know what he's talking about, the seat of emotions. The truth is, God created all things for his glory. At the beginning of creation, Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were told to be fruitful and what? Multiply. Why? God says so they can subdue the earth. They were to have children to subdue the earth. Whose image were they made in? God's image. God's image in the subduing of the earth. This was all part of God and him getting glory in creation, which God does get glory from creation. God created all things for His glory. Adam and Eve were made to worship Him. Do you understand? God didn't need us. He had the triune, full fellowship with Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in perfect love before the foundation of the world ever existed. Love exists because God exists. That's why the Bible, when it says God is love, love needs an object. God loves Himself. What is the purpose? It's for God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. There is no explanation. There is simply a presupposition, God. We are to believe that. And by faith and the work of the Holy Spirit, we do. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalms 24. It's all God's. It's all made by Him. It's all for Him. It's all for His glory. And I want you to understand the purpose of missions is because God is worthy of worship. The purpose of mission is because God is worthy of worship. That's the reason we go forth. That's the reason we send missionaries. That's the reason we share the gospel. Because it was once delivered to the saints, and we're to proclaim it to every nation because our God is worthy of worship. I've seen my share of missionaries over the years. And I have them come into my office, and I often ask them what their purpose is. And oftentimes it's an improvement on the justice of God instead of just simply going for the glory of God. Your job is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. The purpose for God's glory. And by the way, I want to say that all things are moving towards this end. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, it's up on the board. It shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And I love this. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us His ways and that we may walk in His path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. It's all moving towards a proclamation of who God is. It's all moving to that day when this new covenant is complete and no man's asking of the Lord, for all know Him. But until that day, the purpose is moving towards that. John 17, look at verse 16. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me to the world, so I have sent them into the world. Why has God sent us? Very simple. Romans 10, 13 through 15. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how are they believe on Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. We are called to preach the good news. And I said this already and I'm going to say it again. We're not fatalist. God ordains both the ends and the means. He's called us. And it's funny because I read scriptures like this and I scratch my head and I go, how is this possible that God calls me a co-laborer together with Him? This is the God who spoke to the ocean and told it where to stop. This is the God who threw the stars in the heaven and named them and hasn't lost one. We can't even count the stars of heaven. And He says, I'm a co-laborer with Him. You know what that is? That's merciful. It's a God that allows us to serve. It's a God who gives us purpose. And that purpose is what? His glory. He has called us to share the gospel. He's called us to give the gospel to the four corners of this world. continue on. Look down at verse 18. If you're in John 17, verse 18 through 20. As you sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Do you see the Great Commission being played out there? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And teaching them to observe all things whichever command you, and lo, I'm with you always until the end of the world. Jesus, praying to his Father, says, just as you sent me in the world, I'm sending them into the world. And Lord, not just them, but everybody who believes from their testimony. Now, who is that? That's us. Guess what? The boldness that we see in the first century church, that we see in the New Testament saints, was not supposed to be some story of lore, not some narrative that we read and we go, wow, what men. That is a truth that's supposed to be applied to all generations. The proclamation of the gospel of boldness. We are sent into the world just as the apostles before us were sent into the world. And we deliver that same message that was once given to us and has been given and will be forever preserved, that word. We proclaim it boldly to all nations. Why? Because our God is worthy of the praise of all nations. Our God is worthy. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 19 says this. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and entrusted us with the message of reconciliation. Do you understand our call? Our calls proclaim you are in trouble because God is a holy, holy, holy God. If there has to be reconciliation, there has to be guilt or need of reconciliation. This is where the law comes in. You're guilty before a holy, holy God, and you will burn in hell because God has to judge perfectly because he's a perfect God. And if you don't repent and turn, but there's a message of reconciliation. He who spoke the world into existence sent his only beloved Son, who walked the walk you cannot walk, lived the life you could not live, died on the cross, took the wrath of God, stood in as, like the Bible says, propitiation for you and I, and he rose again the third day, and there is a message of reconciliation in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Who should hear that message? Don't raise your hand, but how many of y'all have grandkids, nieces, nephews, extended family members, neighbors? You want them to hear that message. Guess whose job it is to open their mouth and give them that message? It's yours. It's mine. Those who have received the ministry of reconciliation. Now do you understand why when Paul shows up, he talks himself as being a debtor to the gospel? He understood the grandness of that responsibility and the deepness of that debt. I told you this is going to be a very simplistic sermon. Probably one of the most simplistic in a while. But it's a truth that I think we need to be reminded of. So the who, the what, the why, the when, the where. And I know I'm a broken record, but I think you know the where. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You sanctify them through truth. Your word is truth. You, just as you have sent into the world, so I send them into the world. You know, in redemption, we look at the gospel story. Well, let's just do this. John 3:16 through 18. We see Jesus here in this most quoted verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." And then it tells us why Christ came into the world. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." He came to proclaim good news to those who are captive. "Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten of the Father." And I think you all know the answer to this, but I think it's something that's important we touch on. Revelation 7, 9. There's two different sections of Scripture that talk about this in the book of Revelation. I love it. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hand." I love this. Every tribe and every what? They're going to sing a song. Every tribe, every nation, every kindred, every tongue is going to be there rejoicing God and praising God for His salvation. They're all going to be there. You know what that does? That empowers me. That lets me know that if we lay hands and pray for Miss Peoples and she goes to Zambia, God will do a work with that. Not because she's gifted. She's a very gifted nurse of 30 years, gifted theological mind. Not because she's particularly gifted, but because God already has His elect in Zambia. And she's going to proclaim the gospel and to spread seed and to water, and trusting that God will be praised by every nation, every kindred, and every tongue. With this truth that God does the work of salvation, that should empower you to share the gospel. It's your job to water, your job to sow, but you trust God to give the increase. You don't have to be smart enough, intellectual enough. Listen, yes, study to show yourself approved to God. Yes, be ready to give an answer. But the truth is, I have seen people that I got to be careful how I say this. I have fruit that remains from my early ministry time, and I did a horrible job in presenting the gospel. And I look back at that and I realize there is absolutely nothing for me to boast about with any fruit that remains. It's never been about being smart enough, witty enough. It's about being faithful. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to the gospel? Are you faithful to the mission that He has called this church to do? Every kindred, every tongue will be there. God's just called you to put your hands to the plow and not look back. He's called you to take up your cross daily and follow Him. He's called you to proclaim to every nation, kindred, and tongue the glorious message of reconciliation that we have received from Him. Are you faithful in that? Over the next couple weeks, I won't be preaching on this again, but over the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about our mission budget for this next year. Well, we have actually, unfortunately, had to let go of two missionaries. Actually, three, if you count Scott from years ago. We've had three missionaries fall, by the way, from different reasons. Some just genuinely coming home, moving to a different mission. Some fallen in sin. But we need to be in prayer about what we're going to do. I think we need to treat world missions the same as we treat local evangelism. And that's one thing, is we are very good at renting a booth and going down. We need to be just as good as making sure we're getting the gospel to the other parts of the globe. So over the next couple weeks, we're reintroducing to you the missionaries. I think there's only a couple of them now. We've lost so many missionaries over the years. As we pray about taking on more missionaries in this coming year. I'm very excited. How many of y'all remember Brother Joe Palisco was just here last week? He's going to be preaching the opening chapel. We have a three-day mini revival. I don't really like calling it that. Bible study that we do in the school every year. He's coming back this week to preach that. I want the kids to see and meet a missionary and have them proclaim it. Be in prayer about your part, both in giving the gospel to your neighbor and holding the rope for those who go places that you can't. Must every head be bowed, every eye be closed as we pray. God, we love you.